Chapter 4. The school doors flew open, and a dark-haired man in a purple suit strutted in with his head in the air. He swaggered down the shiny hallway with a dwarf and an obese police officer bringing up the rear. When Sabrina spotted the group, she groaned. Mayor Charming was not one of her favorite people. To anyone else, Mayor Charming might have seemed like a run-of-the-mill politician. But Sabrina knew better. Mayor Charming was really Prince Charming, the dashing, romantic hero of a dozen fairy tales. But as Sabrina knew firsthand, Charming was only his name. The mayor could be an obnoxious, rude know-it-all, and he had a particular disdain for Sabrina's family. In a nutshell, he hated the Grimms. Racing to keep up was Mr. Seven, the mayor's diminutive sidekick. Seven was actually one of the original Seven Dwarfs and acted as Charming's driver, assistant, and whipping boy. Behind him was Sheriff Hampstead, who did his best to keep up with the others while trying to hoist his pants up at the same time. "So, let's go through this one more time," the mayor said to his followers with an air of condescension. "Who's doing all the talking?"
"You are,"
Hampstead and Mr. Seven said in unison. "And why is that?"
"Because we are numbskulls."
See how easy that was? "But what if I see something suspicious? I am the sheriff, after all," Hampstead argued. Charming came to a halt and spun around on his heels.
"Are you going to make me get out the idiot hat? 'Cause it sounds like someone wants to wear the idiot hat."
"I don't,"
Mr. Seven said. The sheriff frowned and shook his head.
"Good,"
Mayor Charming snapped. He took a deep breath and looked up to the ceiling, as if someone were watching from above. "Okay, let's relax. Let out all the anger and frustration. You are a great mayor. Smile." Suddenly, a smile sprang to Charming's face, and he started down the hallway again. The mayor was a master at the phony, toothy grin, but it slid off his face when he spotted Sabrina and Daphne.
"What are they doing here?" he moaned.
"They found the body," the sheriff explained.
"The sisters Grimm found the body, and no one told me,"
Charming said.
"You told us not to talk," Mr. Seven said defensively.
The mayor bit down on his lower lip and mumbled a variety of curse words Sabrina had never heard before. He reached into his pocket, took out a folded piece of paper, and handed it to Mr. Seven, who looked down at it and frowned. The dwarf unfolded it, revealing a pointy paper hat, and put it on his head. Someone had written "idiot" in big black letters on the front of it. Mr. Seven lowered his eyes in humiliation.
"Howdy, Mayor," Daphne said happily.
Even though Charming considered the Grimms his eternal enemies, Daphne had a soft spot for him. The mayor had helped the family stop Jack the Giant Killer, but most important, he had been kind to Elvis when the big dog was injured. Since then, the little girl had been convinced that deep down, Mayor Charming was one of the good guys.
"Sheriff, let's make a new law. Children who cannot stay out of the way go to jail," he said through gritted teeth.
"You're so funny," Daphne said, smiling into the mayor's face. The little girl grabbed Charming's necktie, yanked him down to her level, and gave him a smooch on the nose. The anger melted from the man's face, only to be replaced by confusion. He pulled away from the girl, as if he had accidentally touched a hot stove. Principal Hamlin rushed down the hall to join them.
"Mayor Charming, Sheriff Hampstead, this is such a terrible tragedy. I just want you two to know that the faculty will cooperate in every way we can. I just feel horrible about this."
Charming smiled and shook the principal's hand vigorously.
"I appreciate that, Piper. We'll get to the bottom of this and be out of your hair as soon as possible," he said. "I assume you don't have any more of these running around the building?"
He waved his hand at the girls, as if he were trying to shoo away a couple of annoying houseflies.
"You mean children?" the principal said. "Oh, no. It happened at the end of the day, and most of them were already on their way home."
"Sheriff, let's take a look,"
Charming said, gesturing to the door of Mr. Grumpner's classroom.
The two men tried to enter the room at the same time and got jammed in the doorway together. They squirmed and shoved, but were trapped, until Mr. Seven came up from behind and pushed them into the room.
"I thought we weren't going to do that anymore," Mr. Charming said, maintaining his phony smile in front of everyone.
Hampstead muttered an apology and immediately took a camera from his pocket. He snapped pictures of the unusual crime scene and Mr. Grumpner's disturbing corpse.
"He was found about 10 minutes after the last bell," Principal Hamlin offered.
"I see," said Charming, as he yanked some of the sticky stuff off a desk.
Sheriff Hampstead stepped close to the body to take more photos. He pulled aside a strand of the sticky substance to get a better look at Mr. Grumpner's face.
"Looks like the blood has been drained right out of him."
"Maybe it was a vampire," Daphne cried.
"There's no such thing as vampires," Charming muttered.
"I used to think there was no such thing as you," Sabrina thought.
"Sheriff, do you have any idea what happened to him?" the principal asked.
"Well," Hampstead said as he put his camera away, "if I had to hazard a guess, I'd say..."
"Spiders," Charming interrupted. "A whole bunch of spiders murdered him. There are so many cobwebs here, I'd say it took hundreds of spiders to make them. Looks like they came in through the window."
"It's too cold for spiders," the sheriff argued.
But when the mayor flashed him an angry look, the portly policeman zipped his lips.
"And what would the spider's motivation be?" Sabrina asked.
"How should I know?" Charming said. "Maybe Mr. Grumpner stepped on one and its family wanted revenge."
"Spider revenge?" Sabrina asked.
"I don't hear anyone else with a better theory," Charming snapped.
Suddenly the door opened, and Granny Relda and Mr. Canis entered the room.
"Oh, I have a theory," Granny Relda said, scanning the room. "It was a monster."
Daphne ran to the old woman and wrapped her arms around her.
"We found something gross," the little girl cried, burying her face into the old woman's bright green dress.
Granny bent down and kissed her on the forehead.
"A monster," Charming growled. "You've had some insane theories in the past, Relda, but monsters..."
"You're right, Maya," the old woman said sarcastically. "Fairyport Landing has fairies, witches, robots, and men made out of straw. But monsters? Now I've really lost my marbles."
Charming scowled.
"Well, have your look around. I know I can't stop you."
"Thank you, Maya," Granny Relda said.
She crossed the room to Sabrina and took her by the hand.
"Are you okay, Liebling?"
Sabrina nodded. Granny patted her on the head and walked over to the broken window. Among the glass was something long and black. The old woman gingerly moved the glass aside with her fingers and plucked the object off the ground. It was a feather.
"Gentlemen, I believe I have found a clue," she said.
Sheriff Hampstead took the feather and eyed it closely.
"Looks like crow to me," he said. "There's a couple more there under the windowsill."
Mr. Canis took a deep sniff of the air.
"It is crow."
"They probably blew in with the wind," Charming said, snatching the feather from the sheriff's pudgy hands.
He tossed it to the floor, as if it were meaningless.
"We found a clue, too," Daphne said proudly.
She pointed at the red hand painted on the chalkboard. Hampstead, Charming, Mr. Seven, and Principal Hamlin peered at the red hand closely. Each of them had a worried look on his face.
"It's just like the one the police found in my parents' abandoned car," Sabrina said. "Or maybe that blew in with the wind, too."
Charming scowled and rolled his eyes at her.
"Probably just a prank."
"A prank?" Sabrina and Daphne cried. "Mayor Charming, that's the sign of the Scarlet Hand," said Granny Relda.
"There's no such thing as the Scarlet Hand," he said. "Hampstead has done a thorough investigation, and we've concluded that Jack invented the whole thing."
Sabrina couldn't believe her ears. Charming knew the Scarlet Hand was real. He had admitted to the girls that the shadowy criminal group of Ever-Afters had approached him, and this was before they'd heard Jack brag about being a member. Why was he now lying about its existence? Before Sabrina could confront him, the door opened and Snow White entered. It didn't seem possible, but Ms. White was even more beautiful up close. Mayor Charming rushed to block her view of Mr. Grumpner's corpse, but the teacher had already spotted it.
"So, it's true," she gasped.
"Snow, you shouldn't see this," Charming said softly.
"I'm fine,"
Snow White said, but the mayor ignored her. He took her by the hand and led her into the hallway. Sabrina and Daphne shared a glance and pushed through the crowd, eager not to miss a second of this royal soap opera. The mayor pulled the teacher into his arms, as if she needed comfort, and for a brief moment she seemed to enjoy it, but then she pulled away.
"Billy,"
Ms. White said,
"what did that to him?"
"Try to put it out of your head, Snow," Charming said. He put his hand on her shoulder and looked deep into her eyes. It was hard to believe that the usually obnoxious mayor could be so tender. "I've got my best men on it." The others filed out of Grumpner's classroom, and Sheriff Hampstead took a roll of yellow police tape from his jacket. He draped an X over the door to keep anyone else from entering. "Snow, I don't want you to get involved in this," the mayor said. The teacher flashed him an irritated look, but then nodded. She turned and bent down so that she was at eye level with Daphne.
"Are you okay?"
she asked.
"Don't worry about me,"
the little girl answered. "We see this kind of thing all the time." Mayor Charming turned to the sheriff. "Mr. Hampstead, could you make sure my fiancée, I mean Ms. White, gets home safely?" he said, blushing over his mistake. As Snow White stood up, she smiled softly, but the bright red blush on her cheeks flashed like a police siren on her pale skin. "I'd be happy to," Sheriff Hampstead said, extending his arm to the beautiful woman. He escorted her down the hall, and she stopped to gaze back at Charming before they left.
"So, what's next, Billy?"
Sabrina said, before she burst into giggles. Daphne and Granny Relda joined her. Even Mr. Canis cracked a smile. Suddenly, a loud, goofy laugh was heard behind them. When they turned, they found Mr. Seven nearly falling over with laughter.
"Billy," Sabrina continued, "that's just precious. It's so sweet, I'm going to get a cavity."
"I think it's romantic," Daphne said, doing her best to stop laughing.
"Enough!" Charming shouted, silencing everyone's giggles. "This is a crime scene. Relda, take your rugrats and your mangy mongrel with you, or I'll have you arrested."
"Watch your words, Prince," Canis growled as his eyes turned icy blue, showing everyone that the wolf was just below the surface. "Someday you're going to wake up and find someone has taken a bite out of you."
"Relda, I believe there's a law in this town about keeping animals on a leash," Charming said.
The men stared at each other for a long moment, and then suddenly Canis's eyes changed back to watery gray. The old man looked exhausted, and his face grew pale.
"That's quite enough of this nonsense," Granny said, stepping in between the two men.
Every time Charming and Canis were in a room together, they were at each other's throats. But the old woman had a way of making them feel foolish. They stepped back and lowered their eyes like two squabbling schoolboys who had just been disciplined.
"It's time to go."
The family exited the school and found their ancient black jalopy in the parking lot. The beat-up monstrosity was in desperate need of a tune-up, and its long-neglected shocks groaned and complained as each person climbed inside. Elvis was in the back, snuggling under a huge blanket, and didn't even bother to lift his head when the girls got in. Daphne wrapped her arms around the dog's neck and gave him a big, wet smooch on the forehead.
"I missed you today," she announced.
Elvis tucked his head under his blanket and hid.
"What's the matter with him?" the little girl asked.
"He's pouting. He doesn't like to be left in the car," Granny Relda said, as she jotted something into her notebook.
"Aw, my little baby," Daphne said, trying to pull the 200-pound dog onto her lap like an infant. She showered the Great Dane in kisses.
Is somebody sad? Did somebody get left in the car? I won't ever leave you in the car.
Elvis gave her a lick on the cheek, and the girl giggled. Granny spun around in her seat with a delighted look on her face.
Lieblings, you know what all this means?
Sabrina groaned. We're in the middle of a mystery?
Isn't it exciting?
The old woman cried. Yes, and pointless, the girl argued. You heard Charming and his ridiculous spider theory. He knows the Scarlet Hand killed Mr. Grumpner, but instead he lies about it. Grumpner was a human, so Charming couldn't care less. Why should the ever-after mayor and the ever-after police department do anything at all? No, they'll just cover up his death, and we'll run into one dead end after another.
We are Grimms, and this is what we do, Daphne said.
Exactly right, little one. We are Grimms, and part of what we do is make sure that this kind of thing doesn't go unpunished. We'll just sit here until everyone is gone, and then we'll go back inside and have a look ourselves,
the old woman said.
I have a feeling there are a lot more clues in that room.
Suddenly, Mr. Seven was tapping on the car window. He motioned for Granny Relda to roll it down and looked around nervously.
Good evening, Mr. Seven.
Mayor Charming has requested your presence at the mansion.
You mean Billy?
Granny said, turning in her seat to wink at the girls. The dwarf chuckled. He has something he wishes to discuss in private. Granny Relda and Mr. Canis shared a suspicious glance. After a moment, Mr. Canis nodded his approval.
Tell Mr. Charming we'll be there, the old woman said.
The dwarf nodded and walked over to the mayor's long white limousine. He buffed the silver stallion on the hood with his shirt sleeve, then climbed onto the stack of phone books on the driver's seat, and soon the limo was pulling away.
Are you sure you're feeling up to this?
Granny said, putting her hand on the old man's shoulder. Mr. Canis nodded. He started the car, and it sputtered to life with a series of backfires that Sabrina was sure could be heard in the next town. They followed Charming's limo through the quiet country roads of Ferryport Landing. Sabrina gazed out at the sleepy little river town that her great-great-great-great-grandfather, Wilhelm Grimm, had founded. Anyone driving through it would think it was just another boring little town. They would never know that many of the residents were princes, pigs, witches, and fairies, all in disguise. And on the rare occasions when one of the really big ever-afters caused trouble, such as one of the giants or dragons, the endless acres of firs, Chinese maples, and oak trees that surrounded the town acted as an excellent cover from prying eyes. In addition, the invisible magical barrier that Wilhelm and the witch Baba Yaga had constructed around Ferryport Landing meant no ever-after, no matter how big, could leave the area. As for the humans who lived in town, they were none the wiser. The ever-afters were too good at covering up their magic and mischief. Sabrina often wished she were oblivious, too. Ferryport Landing was a perfect place to live, unless you knew that it was all a lie. And the lie kept Sabrina from getting comfortable in her new life. As they pulled into Charming's sprawling estate, Sabrina realized the mayor was the only person in town she could trust. He was corrupt, but at least he was upfront about it. He planned to buy the town piece by piece and recreate the kingdom he had given up when the ever-afters came to America. He didn't care if you liked it or not, and he didn't care if you thought it was wrong. Charming could always be counted on to do what was right for himself. He might not have any morals, but at least he was consistent. Mr. Canis parked the car and turned off the engine. The last time Sabrina had been at the mansion, it had been lit up like a Christmas tree for the Ferryport Landing Ball, an annual event for which the Ever After community came together to be themselves and to celebrate. Without all the glitz and glamour, Charming's mansion looked vacant. The lights were off, and the fountain, which featured a lifelike sculpture of Charming, was drained and full of dead leaves.
Mrs. Grimm, if it's okay with you, I believe I will stay here, Mr. Canis said as he opened the car door for Granny Relda. I'm feeling a bit tired, and I suspect Charming will only make it worse.
Of course, Mr. Canis, Granny Relda said. I don't believe Mayor Charming poses any threat to us.
Elvis whined when he saw that the family was leaving him in the car.
Elvis, we're not leaving you in the car. We're putting you in charge of it, Daphne said.
The dog lifted his huge ears, as if he was listening very carefully.
It's a really important job. You have to stay and guard Mr. Canis. Don't let anything bad happen to him.
Elvis barked, confirming his orders. He sat up in the back seat and watched out the windows for any would-be attackers. As the Grimms approached the mansion, Sabrina looked back and noticed Canis doing something very odd. The stick-thin man climbed on top of the car and sat Indian style on the roof. He closed his eyes and rested his hands on his knees.
What's he doing? Sabrina asked.
Meditative yoga, Granny replied, as if this were the natural response. It's helping him remain centered and calm, keeps the dark stuff at bay.
Of course the big bad wolf does yoga, Sabrina thought. Why did I even bother to ask? The trio stood on the front steps of the mansion. But before Granny could ring the bell, Mr. Seven opened the door and ushered the family inside.
Good evening, he said.
And without offering to take their coats, he turned and raced up the staircase.
I'll get the mayor. What do you think he wants? Daphne wondered.
Hard to say, Granny Relda said. The mayor is full of surprises.
Maybe he felt like he didn't get to insult us enough at the school, Sabrina muttered, just as Charming appeared at the top of the steps.
Sabrina watched him grimace, then take a deep breath as he came down to join them.
This conversation must be an absolute secret, he said as he stood before them.
He leaned down and pinned a shiny tin star on Sabrina's coat. It looked like the kind sheriffs wore in old black-and-white Western movies. She peered down at it and read the words, Ferryport Landing Special Forces Deputy Officer.
What's this? She asked, as Charming pinned a similar star onto Daphne's coat.
The little girl looked at it and smiled.
Look at me! I'm a cowboy!
May I? Charming said to Granny Relda.
The old woman hesitated, but finally agreed, and he pinned the star on her dress, too.
I don't think I understand what is taking place, Mayor Charming, Granny Relda said.
I'm deputizing you, he said uncomfortably.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. Charming raised his right hand and waited for the Grimms to do the same. Sabrina stared blankly at the man, wondering if maybe he was pulling some kind of prank on them.
Don't make this harder on me than it has to be, he begged. The town needs your help. You know it, and I know it. Can't that be enough?
You want our help? Sabrina said.
I know you've been helping Hampstead, the mayor said. For some reason, the sheriff thinks you will be able to help with this case.
Mayor Charming, Granny Relda exclaimed. I never thought I'd see the day when you would come to this family for anything.
The man lowered his right hand and groaned.
Do you think I would ask you if it wasn't absolutely necessary? I swore I'd see your family rot before I asked for your help, but drastic times call for drastic measures.
What are you talking about? Sabrina demanded impatiently.
But as she waited for the mayor to answer, she noticed something odd about the mansion. It was filthy. Several curtains in the ballroom had fallen and lay in heaps on the floor. A giant red stain had ruined a polar bear rug lying near the fireplace. The carpet on the stairs needed a good vacuuming, and a bucket sat on the floor collecting rain from a giant patched-up hole in the ceiling. Half a dozen overflowing bags of garbage sat by the door waiting to be taken out, and a thick layer of dust covered everything, including a full suit of armor that leaned precariously against a wall.
What happened here? She asked.
You happened here, Charming snapped. You and your smelly sister ruined the only fundraising event this town has each year.
Daphne raised an arm to smell her armpit. She crinkled her nose and lowered her arm quickly.
I'm not that bad, she said.
You crashed an invitation-only party, brought a giant here, which nearly destroyed the mansion, and several cars in the parking lot. And worst of all, you made me look like a fool in front of the town's biggest donors, the mayor said. We didn't raise a penny. The town is broke. We know what the fundraiser is really for, Sabrina replied. You want to use the money to buy the whole town. Why don't you just dip into the money you've conned out of everyone for the last 200 years? You dare question my honor, Charming growled. I haven't taken a penny out of this town. The rumors about my finances are greatly exaggerated. Relda, do you believe I would live like this if I didn't have to? Granny Relda gazed around the room. No, I don't, she answered. Services had to be cut drastically. Transportation, education. I've even had to fire the crew of workers who polish statues of me in the park. Mr. Seven has agreed to a substantial cut in pay, and I haven't taken a salary in weeks. I had to lay off 3/4 of the town's police force, which, since there were only 4 police officers to begin with, leaves me with Hampstead. The sheriff works hard, and he's smart as a whip, but he's only one pig. We're stretched too thin, and we just don't have the resources to investigate a crime, let alone a murder committed by the Scarlet Hand. I need your help, and since most of this is your family's fault, I think it's your responsibility. So, now the Scarlet Hand exists, huh? Why did you lie about it back at the school? Sabrina asked. Because I don't need the citizens of this town to panic. If word got out that there was a terrorist group killing people, there would be chaos in the streets. Hampstead can barely keep up now with speeding tickets and jaywalkers. Your family has proven to be good detectives. You're persistent and lucky and stubborn. Charming continued. If you don't stop whatever did that to the teacher, then it won't get stopped. Why do you care what happens to a human teacher? Sabrina said. I thought you hated humans. Charming said nothing. You don't want anything bad to happen to Ms. White, Daphne cried. You are in love with her. You want to kiss and hug her. Nonsense, the mayor shouted. I can't have terrorists running around the elementary school, even if I approve of who they're killing. You want to write her love notes, the little girl persisted. You want to hold her hand in the park and look at puppies in the pet store. Is there an off button for this one? Charming asked Granny Relda. The old woman grinned at the mayor. You haven't answered the questions. All right, Charming surrendered. Snow has a knack for getting in trouble. I would sleep better at night knowing she is safe. Of course. We'll do what we can, Granny Relda assured him. What are you going to do for us? Sabrina asked. The old woman looked at the girl in horror. Liebling, we would never take payment for helping folks. Granny, finding the killer is going to take a lot of time. Time that we could use to find Mom and Dad, Sabrina argued. What can I do? Charming said. I can't exactly send Hampstead to search everyone's homes. No, but you have connections we don't, said Sabrina. People will talk to you. Maybe there is something we could use, something magical lying around we don't know anything about. Use your imagination, Billy. Charming thought for a moment. You have my word. He raised his right hand. It'll have to do, Sabrina said, as she raised her hand as well. Granny Relda and Daphne did the same. I do solemnly swear to protect and serve the inhabitants of... What does inhabitants mean? Daphne interrupted. It means the people who live in a particular place, her sister answered, noting Charming's impatient face. Why didn't you just say the people then? The little girl asked. Let him finish, Lieblings, Granny Relda said. I do solemnly swear, Charming started over, to protect and serve the people... of Ferryport Landing to the best of my ability. I vow to protect the peace, secure the safety, and uphold the rule of law. The Grimms repeated what he said, word for word, and then lowered their hands. You are now officially deputized under the laws of Ferryport Landing, the mayor said, as he pulled out a set of keys and handed them to Granny Relda.
"What are these?" Granny said, looking down at the key ring. "Keys to the school," Charming said. "You'll need them to get inside." Granny smiled and handed the keys back to the mayor. "I've got my own set, thanks," she said. Charming scowled and shoved the keys back into his pocket. "Well, I'd love to keep this happy event going all night, but as you know, I can't stand you people," he said, leading them to the door. As his hand clutched the knob, he turned and looked the girls in their eyes. "Snow is important to me. I would appreciate you keeping a close eye on her."
"No problem, Billy," Daphne replied, wrapping her arms around the mayor and hugging him tightly. "It's so romantic."
Charming sneered, opened the door, and forcefully shoved the family outside.
"You should really tell her that you love her," Daphne said,
right before the mayor slammed the door in her face. Sabrina had been to a lot of schools in the last year and a half, and they all had a few things in common. Every one of them had a couple of grouchy teachers, a bully, a bully's punching bag, a weird cafeteria lady, a bathroom that everyone was afraid to go into, and a librarian who worshipped something called the Dewey Decimal System. None of those schools, however, had a teacher-killing monster scurrying through its hallways, and they said New York City had everything. Granny Relda was convinced that a monster, maybe working with the Scarlet Hand, had killed Mr. Grumpner. Not knowing exactly what the monster looked like or where it might be now was doing a number on Sabrina's nerves as her grandmother led the girls through the darkened hallways of the school. The long shadows cast by the setting sun looked like dinosaurs and invading aliens. Every little creak sounded like the tread of Bigfoot or a swamp monster. And worse, Grumpner's bloodless purple face appeared every time Sabrina closed her eyes. All she wanted to do was run back to the car and hide under Elvis's blanket, but Granny insisted they take another look at the crime scene. For once, the girl wished Mr. Canis was by their side, but the skinny old man had chosen to stay with the car and meditate in the freezing cold. Luckily, Granny had relented to Elvis's begging, and the big dog now trotted down the hall beside them. "Mr. Canis looks terrible, and for him that's particularly bad," Sabrina said to the old woman as they crept along. "In the past, he has been able to tap into the wolf's strengths without losing himself," her grandmother explained. "But this time he made a complete transformation, and worse, he tasted human blood. It's been a very long time since that has happened, and the wolf is not going to be put away without a fight. Don't worry, children. Mr. Canis will win this battle."
"And if he doesn't?" Sabrina asked.
"He will. I'm sure he'll be happy that you are concerned for his well-being."
"I'm more concerned about waking up in his belly," Sabrina thought.
When they got to Sabrina's homeroom, the crime scene tape and Grumpner's body were already gone. The broken window had been replaced and all the cobwebs were cleared away. Even the blood-red hand painted on the chalkboard was gone. Other than some misplaced desks, there was no evidence of the gruesome scene they'd witnessed only hours before. Principal Hamlin had obviously cleaned the place up.
"Whatever it was didn't catch him by surprise," Granny Relda said, pushing a desk back into its row.
"The way these desks are scattered, it looks like Mr. Grumpner tried to fight back."
Sabrina shuddered as she imagined her teacher fighting off his attacker. Whether it was a giant spider or 1,000 little ones, the fact was that the man's death had been a nightmare for him. Even a grouch like Grumpner didn't deserve to die so horribly.
"Why are we here now?" Daphne asked as they walked into the classroom. "We'll never find anything in the dark."
"Some of the best clues are found in the dark," Granny said.
She crossed the room and opened Grumpner's desk drawers. They were empty except for the bottom one. Inside was a picture of the teacher and a woman. They were on a pontoon boat enjoying an afternoon on the Hudson River. Grumpner and the woman each had a glass of champagne in their hands and were toasting each other.
"His wife?" Sabrina asked, as Granny showed her the picture. "I can't imagine that Mr. Cranky found anyone to marry him."
"He was probably a very different man at home," the old woman replied. You told me once you thought your father was too careful, but the Henry Grimm I knew threw caution to the wind. There are many sides to us all. His wife must be very sad, Daphne sighed. Granny sighed, too. I suppose she is.
Well, we found a picture, Sabrina said, eyeing a shadow in the corner that looked like the boogeyman. Can we go now? This place is giving me the willies.
Don't be scared, Daphne said. I'm a police officer, ma'am. I'll protect you.
She leaned down and struggled with her belt, then walked around the room mimicking Sheriff Hampstead's bow-legged gait. Sabrina laughed so hard she snorted. Granny reached into her handbag and pulled out a familiar pair of infrared goggles.
"Don't worry, Lieblings. I'm hurrying," she said as she put the goggles over her eyes and looked around the room,
finally focusing on the floor.
"Aha! Children, come and take a look."
The girls hurried to their grandmother. Daphne took the goggles and looked down at the floor.
"That is so punk rock," she said.
Eager for a turn, Sabrina snatched the goggles away from her sister and peered through their special lenses. They revealed ghostly white footprints, the last traces of the late Mr. Grumpner. Granny Relda reached down and ran her finger across the floor. When she lifted it, there was white powder on it.
"The plot thickens," she said,
holding her chalky finger up to Sabrina's eyes.
"Mr. Grumpner's feet were covered in some kind of dust."
A bit of the dust floated up into Sabrina's nose, and she sneezed violently.
"Gesundheit," Granny Relda said.
"They come from out in the hallway," Sabrina said, opening the door and following the glowing footprints.
"Notice anything about the steps?" her grandmother asked, following closely behind.
"They're very far apart," the girl said. "Three of my steps are equal to about one of his."
"That's because he was running," the old woman informed her.
Sabrina was impressed. Granny Relda was a natural detective, and Sabrina wondered if she'd ever be as smart. The footprints came from the stairs to the first floor, and the girl headed in that direction until suddenly the infrared goggles were snatched off her head.
"Hey!"
she complained as she turned on her little sister.
"If you wanted to wear them, all you had to do was ask."
Granny and Daphne said nothing. They were looking at the ceiling with odd expressions. Sabrina followed their gaze, and what she saw sent a shock down to her toes. Hanging upside down above them was a fat, frog-faced creature. Its head and feet were amphibious, with slimy, bumpy skin and a puffed, bulbous pouch under its lower lip. But it had the arms, legs, and body of a human being. It was the creature's long, sticky green tongue that had snatched the goggles off Sabrina's head, and now it dragged them in and out of its mouth, as if it were wondering whether they might make a good snack. Eventually, it spit them out at Sabrina's feet, spraying sticky saliva all over the girl's pants.
No thanks. You can keep them, Sabrina said, wiping the goop off her jeans.
The frog monster let out an odd feminine giggle and puffed up its huge air sac. Sabrina had seen frogs do just the same thing on TV. It was something they did when they were preparing to eat, and she suddenly had the feeling that she was on the menu.
Run! She cried.
The Grimms and Elvis spun around and ran back down the hallway, but the monster leaped off the ceiling and landed in front of them, blocking their path.
"I spy with my little eye," the frog girl gurgled, "something dead!"